Hello, welcome to episode, I don't give a fuck what number it is. If you've listened to the others, it's the one that comes after those. If you haven't, then it's the one that comes before those. If you're in the middle of them, whatever, this is going to be fucking irrelevant. But have a nice listen to us talking about transfers that are happening. Now,
as if you're a bit OCD about numbers, it's 14.
There you go. If you can't stop yourself interrupting, it's Dave. It's all of us. It's all of us, to be fair. So transfers that have been done, transfers that our teams have done, and transfers that have caught our eye elsewhere. I mean, look, I'm going to start with, I think, what is the biggest UK transfer, and we've slightly touched on it, and that is Man City picking up Leeds United fan Erling Haaland for 50 million. Obviously, you know, it turns out he was a lying cunt. But you've got to be happy with that, Dave.
Yeah. I mean...
Hang on. Sorry. I do apologise. How could I not mention the other fucking major signing that you've made, which is our Leeds United's Calvin Phillips. So, sorry.
Also a City fan.
Yeah, fuck you. So, Erling, yeah, you've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, happy with it. Very happy with it. I mean, who knows? Happy overall. So I'm not about to start to miserabilise about this because it's very exciting. And I can't remember the last time I'm 52. I do have a slight boyish excitement about, how he's going to play and where he's going to fit in. So, be interesting to see what changes in the front line and whether we play slightly differently.
That's my feeling is people keep going, well, you stick Erling Haaland in this team and, oh, just a, no, it's not a like for like for anyone. So, yeah. Personally, I think the reason why Phillips has been brought in is because Phillips or Rodri is pretty much going to start every game because you are going to be slightly more open because you're going to be playing with a target man. Well, not a target man, but a defined striker.
I think that's right. And to sort of reduce it down, the way I look at it is I think, you know, I really like Raheem Sterling. And people point to the number of chances he needs before scoring goals, but he was awesome for us in the what he creates, the fear he puts into defenders, his skill. His finishing, okay, he needed 10 chances to score one sometimes. But I think the difference we'll see, we might actually see us create fewer chances but convert more of them. I mean, the bit that's exciting me about Haaland is if it clicks and if it works and if he stays fit, blah, 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 all those caveats, is De Bruyne and Haaland playing in the same team together. I think you could see some special stuff there. But it'll be interesting to see how it works and whether Pep goes down there and ends up playing Haaland as a centre-back. I mean, we will see. Or whether he plays him, I mean, he's going to play him up front. But no, I agree. It is certainly the most exciting signing we've had and we make a lot of them. But yeah. Good. And I think you're right on Calvin. I also think that's half an eye on whether Bernardo Silva leaves, which I don't want him to leave. He's brilliant, but he has said he wants to kind of get back to Spain, although he's Portuguese, his family are in Spain. Yeah. And if that happens, I think you could see Calvin, he's got that kind of energy that Bernardo's got as well. So Phillips is going to be pretty important for us. I've no idea how we're going to line up. Pep's got his thing. He may well play both Rodri and Phillips. I mean, who knows?
But also, I have to say, admiration for Man City is the fact that Sterling, he's been in, what's the score with Sterling? That's been a conversation for like over a season. He's has asked to go on loan before as well because he wasn't getting up. And basically, I think Pep bought Grealish last summer and went, right, there you go, Raheem. Whenever you like, there's the door. Or fucking knuckle down and keep him out of the team.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, well, do you see you buying a Sterling replacement? No, because you already have one. Well, there you go. I think that was a large part of that.
Yeah, before we move on to other clubs, I just wanted to sort of just on the other potentially really exciting one is Alvarez, who we signed from River Plate for 14 million. Now, he's kind of a striker, but reading a bit more about him, he can play on either wing as well. So we could have, I've not seen him play. I've seen his 2-minute YouTube highlights.
Oh, hang on. Let me guess. Did he look really good?
Yeah, exactly. I did see. I don't know if we talked about this, about the Sterling highlights package that he put together for his transfer to Chelsea. Did you see that?
No.
I mean, it was great, obviously, because it showed all of his best bits. He showed him setting up Gundogan for winning the title. But I mean, I'm surprised there hasn't been, a response from somebody that did a highlights package of all of his misses as well, because it's kind of crying out to be done. But no, I mean, he's been brilliant.
You touched on something interesting there as well, though, like, City fans, but also I think Chelsea fans, some City fans, not too bothered to see him go. And some Chelsea fans are like, do we need him really though? And it's like, what is it? What is it with us in this country? We fucking love shitting on our own players. Raheem Sterling is one of the first names guaranteed on the England team sheet, who are one of the top three sides in the world, have reached the semis or final of the last two UEFA and FIFA tournaments. But apparently he's not very good. Fuck off! Honestly, anyone listening to this who doesn't rate him, you're a cock. Fuck off.
I mean, what I will say about him is that I think that if Tuchel plays, because Pep played him in different positions, which has been great for his development, but I think if Tuchel plays him on the left every week, I think he's going to be brilliant. His fitness level is unbelievable. He never gets injured.
Yeah.
And if it all comes together, you could see, I think it'll be the right place for him to go.
But also, aren't we talking about somebody who just played in an attacking role, who has been delivering like 20 goals a season?
Yeah.
I mean, if that was a striker, you'd be happy with 20 goals. So, I don't know. I don't know what the poor lad has to do. But anyway, well, look, that's some interesting stuff there. And Dave, Liverpool. Slightly quiet, but a major investment has been made.
Yeah, and potentially really exciting. And I mean, he was devastating against us when we played Benfica. Devastating in terms of his impact. I mean, he gave Konate and Van Dijk the run around. Having said that, I am concerned about losing Mane, the goals that he brought. I think he was very much understated. Not understated, he was less celebrated, should we say, than Salah. And I think we'll miss his goals, definitely. I think we were struggling to score anyway. I mean, remarkably, 3 cup finals, not a single goal scored in open play. And I saw us get a proper mauling by United in Thailand. I know it was a pre-season friendly, but we look fucking shit. And Darwin, he had a couple of kicks. I mean, we should have scored 3 or 4, but we were just awful. So, as you'd imagine, glass half empty.
Yeah.
with the business that City have done and the unproven business that we have done, in terms of impacting the Premier League. You could say that about Haaland, but he just looks like he's going to hit the ground running. He's just like a proper fucking unit, isn't he, of a player?
Yeah.
Like you said, him and De Bruyne are in the same team is scary, the thought of that. So I think City... Sorry, I'll just finish up. So I think City already have got the edge going into... They're certainly odds on to retain the Premier League. And I'd have them down as potential winners of the Champions League as well. I think given the improvements that the other teams around us have done as well, Chelsea, I think Arsenal are going to be better. They're not necessarily going to be top four, but they're definitely going to be better with Jesus joining them. And Spurs, Conte in charge, they'll definitely put in a better showing. So I think Liverpool might struggle a bit.
I want to pick up on one thing you said there, Dave, which is Arsenal are better, not top four, but better. Do you mean fifth again? like this season. No, but I take your point.
In terms of being more competitive is what I mean.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think if they get Zinchenko, you know, Man City London are going to be quite the team next season.
I wanted
to agree with you on a number of points there.
Okay.
I think Klopp spoke to Van Dijk about him, said, like, you know, what's he like to play against, and all that. I mean, which again is it's such a Klopp thing to do.
Yeah,
you know. He kind of, you know, spoke to everybody in the team apart from Konate, who you know, probably didn't even know the geezer was there. He just had him on toast, didn't he?
Absolutely.
You know, in the dressing room, he had to unscrew his boots because his legs were twisted. In case no one got the reference there, yeah, he had twisted blood. I think it's good business, but I think all of your points are relevant as well. I just think that City is not a done deal. It's a major, major shift. It's a major change. Sterling's gone, Haaland's in. It's not just personnel, it's the structure. Like I said, Phillips coming in, right? I think Pep has looked at that team from last season. I know we seem to be back to Man City again, but they did pip you guys by 2 points. I think Pep looks back at last season and goes, we nearly suffered from having Rodri out injured. We only won the league, you know, on the last day. I'm not letting that happen again. We need that position covered, but we need it covered even more so because we're going to be playing slightly different, which may make us slightly more open. It's going to be fascinating.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think we didn't, you know, it's the story of City is creating chances, not scoring enough of them. Hopefully Haaland sorts that. But also, I mean, not just Sterling going, but Zinchenko, you mentioned Jesus. Gabriel Jesus, again, just gave so much to the team across the front.
Very good
point.
And,
you know, I think we could... I agree with you. It's not done. The only thing I'd say about Klopp is that he's like Guardiola. He knows what he's doing. You know, he knows what he's doing. He's got a vision for that team. And you don't need to worry, Dave. They're going to be great. And never make the cardinal error of judging your team on a pre-season friendly in Southeast Asia. He played three different teams, didn't he, during that 45? Yes. Don't call it a mauling by Man United. That's as close as Man United are going to get to you.
Losing to Man United.
I know. But I mean, they're all off. They're still on holiday, I think, is the phrase that's used
on for the pre-season.
Honestly, though, this is how the mighty have fallen. I had somebody saying, but Man United, though, they did look better, though. They did. It's like, dude, it is irrelevant. They played against over 30 players in the space of 90 minutes. Okay. I mean, you know, if it had been behind closed doors, it would have been more suitable, really. it's just complete, but the desperation to, you know, Ten Hag, he seems to be onto something. If you're saying one of the best current managers in the world in the space of 6 weeks has made you look slightly better, then I agree. Yeah. Which means you're now shit as opposed to fucking shit. Shit's an improvement if you're Man United right now. I mean, and I've been, let's move on to them. And we will come back to Leeds, but let's move on to Man United's fucking fumblings in the back row of a transfer window. Oh, we really like you. Well, we don't like you. So matey boy still doesn't want to fucking leave Barcelona. No matter how Man United or Ten Hag may want to see him, you know, in Salford, he still doesn't seem to want to go. One lad from Ajax has gone. Obviously, he would do, wouldn't he? And I mean, everybody else. It's just like it's a race to the bottom, isn't it? Then nobody can get off. No one can get out of Man United quick enough. Last one out, switch the lights off, etc. Unless it's Rio, of course, because he wouldn't know he was there. He'd be busy in the box. Doing drugs, getting banned.
Allegedly.
Yes. Yeah. No, allegedly, but of course he did get banned. and I wish we actually had to say allegedly. We don't. There's not enough listeners.
Oh, he got banned for what?
He missed a drug test, didn't he? He missed the Euros. Right.
Yeah.
Missed a drug test. Yeah. And you know, anyway, fuck me. Let's talk about a blind alleyway. Yeah, anyway, more ex-Leeds players who fucked off to Manchester. Calvin, yeah, sorry to see him go. And Rafinha going. Now, of course, this has set about Barcelona was basically like the massive turd in the U-bend of the transfer window that was blocking a hell of a lot of shit getting done.
Very good.
You know, and basically, yeah, they've actually managed to get some money from somewhere. Somebody's thrown a few pence in their cup while they sat on the side of the street. So they've managed to do Rafinha and... what's his name? Lewandowski from Bayern Munich, who left Bayern in a classy style would be to fucking lie. He has spent the last few months just shitting all over his Bayern legacy, like to get his move to Barcelona, and it's just like. You know those spoiled children who have everything and they're at a party and everything's going brilliantly, it's going really well, and all of a sudden turns around and goes, right, no, instead of clowns, right, I want army men, I want soldiers. So parents just have to fucking stop everything, throw everything out, stop, right? It's just been an absolute... dick about it. You'd have to ask him, mate.
Okay. I'm seeing him later.
Yeah. No, I get, my relationship with Bayern is over, you know, this move must happen. Just tantrum time, you know what I mean? He didn't put a transfer request in, but he bloody may as well have. But anyway, that all unblocked the river of shit that is the transfer market. And which meant Rafinha went, which means that we're really glad because we'd already bought his replacement. So we've been doing some serious business, ladies and gentlemen. Brendan Aaronson was done almost immediately. I mean, literally, I think within 7 days of staying up, he was signed. Siniestro, who's a Colombian winger. I mean, what's not to love about that, eh? Colombian who sticks to the white line, wonderful. We've also got Marco Rocca from Bayern Munich. Now, this guy is very cool. This guy just seems to be like just very cool. Bayern didn't lose any money on him. I wouldn't say didn't want to sell him, because if they didn't want to sell him, they wouldn't have done. But they were in no, if nobody had come in for him, they wouldn't have sold him. Like they had no issues with the player. He's just been unlucky. And apparently by all accounts, he's looking awesome already. And we've got, I mean, you know, it basically, we got the Danish right back. Now this, I have to do point out, is the power of the Premier League, right? So Rasmus Christian or Christian Rasmussen, I can never get it right. He's an international Danish left-back. This is a classic Leeds United signing, really. He's an international right-back. And we got him for 10 million from Bayern Munich, which I think is a great bit of business. But the thing is, the deal was thought to already be done between Munich and Dortmund. Bearing in mind, Dortmund have got the Champions League next season, obviously, as well, because they usually do. And we rocked up at literally the 11th hour, and the player just went, Premier League, fuck you, Dortmund. I'm off to the Premier League. Because I'm certainly not saying it's the pull of Leeds United over Dortmund playing in the Champions League. I think it's like... That to me is a huge not warning, but it's kind of like, guys, this is why the Super League, this is why they tried to make the Super League happen. Because when you've got a player turning down a top four team in Germany who are playing the Champions League next season to play for a team who stayed up on the last day in the Premier League, isn't that just a little bit like one league has got way too much fucking power?
Yeah.
And that's what the Super League's about. It's about resetting the... And the thing is, that can only be done in a closed shop, really, because the free market says they're all fucked because no one likes their product as much as they like the Premier League product. We've been busy. 5-6 signings. That we need a fucking striker, though. We need an out-and-out striker, goal scorer, because we've still got, you know, Bamford and Gelhart, who is going to play more this season, and I'm going to enjoy watching him come through. The only thing he lacks is a bit of pace. He's got Rooney's power. He's got Rooney's thick set stature, way stronger than a kid his age should be. But also, he lacks a yard of pace. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with him in the Premier League, because I think pace is so important.
So were you sorry to see Rafinha go?
Yes, but he was only with us for 2 seasons. I was sadder to see Calvin go, sadder. And look, Rafa, the minute we saw him play, you know, we literally started preparing his, you know, the welcome, the sad to see you go gif. Do you know what I mean? It's like you see a player like that come to Leeds, Brazilian, and be the player he is, and it's like, yeah, we're going to really struggle to hold on to him. But he gave everything. He gave absolutely everything. Celebrated in the stands like a fucking champion at the end. At the end when we stayed up, and he was a complete ledge, as was Calvin. Calvin, Villa offered 40 million for Calvin when we were in the Championship, where the year we failed to go up and lost to Frank Lampard's Derby in the semis. Remember them? Fucking League One, you fucking financial doping cunts. But hope you go out of business. Anyway, when we lost that, consigned to another season of the Championship, Villa came in with a £40 million bid. And as anybody would do, who's the subject of a £40 million bid, signed from Villa. They signed a new contract at the current club. But we were in the Championship, and I think there was a gentleman's agreement between Calvin and Reggiani, and Daniel Levy obviously doesn't know what a gentleman's agreement is. It's one that only suits one of the gentlemen when they fucking feel like it. Rads just happened to be in the same part of Spain that Calvin was when the contract needed signing, and I think it was you go with our blessing, you stayed, and we always said we wouldn't stand in your way if a Champions League club came in. The other thing as well is that a few fans have been moaning that should have got more than 40 for Calvin, should have got more than 55 for Rafinha. West Ham bid more for Calvin, and Chelsea bid more than Rafinha than Barcelona. But when you're two players say, I'm only going to go to these clubs and nobody else, your negotiating power is somewhat hampered.
But
unfortunately, most idiot fans aren't prepared to see like the wood for the trees. But there you go. So a long rambling update on Leeds United, where we find ourselves. Do I think we'll struggle next season? I honestly don't know. It's like we're going to see some Marsh ball, which we never really saw last season because he was just basically trying to keep us up. So fuck knows what this is going to look like.
Well, and I think, as you touched on earlier, it's because a lot of clubs have been doing a lot of business. So what do you make of Tottenham? I think we're all fans of Conte. So, you know, again, that's a situation where anything could happen. But I wonder, what do you think about the Richarlison signing? I mean, it leaves Everton. Everton are struggling at the moment, I think, to bring players through. What do you think of Richarlison, anybody? Do you rate him? Do you think he'd be great for Tottenham?
he's always been a bit of a meh to me. I don't know about anyone else.
I agree. Inconsistent.
Well, I've always wondered, I put it this way, when you see him playing for Brazil, you don't go, fuck me. You go, what's he doing there? But, you know, oh, dear, what's gone wrong with Brazil? Richarlison's playing up top, you know? actually, that does remind me, and I'm sorry to harp back, but one thing I did want to say is, bearing in mind how recently we were in the Championship and how long we were out of the top league, to sign a Brazilian winger, to see him be fucking amazing, to see him establish himself as a starter in the Brazil national team while at Leeds, be asked about his future and say, and you know, and this was last season or the season before, and to say, yes, I have great ambitions and hopefully I can achieve them all with Leeds. You know, I mean, he's just been, that was special. That was really, really special. Right. And he is special. And Richarlison isn't special. Do you know what I mean? Yeah,
60 million. I think it was that they Tottenham paid for him.
Fucking Brazilian Cascarino at best. I mean, you know.
I agree.
What a knobber.
But where does it leave Everton?
they're struggling to attract players, aren't they? And, you know, Frank Lampard's Everton seem to be struggling. It's almost like Frank hasn't got a load of Chelsea kids on tap that he can get in and make it look like they're actually a decent team. I at the moment, I'd worry more if I was an Everton fan than I am as a Leeds fan.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got bodies in the door, you know. Get the bodies in the door. Get the bodies in the door. But, you know, it remains to be seen. Personally, I think if a whole pre-season with Frank Lampard has shown you anything, it's that it means fuck all. He's not very good. He's not very good. He's not a very good manager. And he's earned himself a little bit of cred by keeping Everton up. But I'm yet to be convinced.
Yeah, it feels like I had to do his apprenticeship, as the old cliche goes, and he went straight in at, obviously Derby, but then straight into Chelsea, which, you know, I mean, I'm sure he doesn't give a shit what I think, unless I'm on a bike and then he's on his phone. But apart from that, I think that I agree with you. I mean, you don't want to say he's overrated. He's an England sort of legend, I suppose, but as a manager, I agree with you. It feels like he's been, I mean, Klopp kind of hinted at that, didn't he? Kind of, he's been over-promoted.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's taken that, he thinks that he's a Premiership manager, and I'm not sure he is.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Everton, I've got mates who are Everton fans, and they take a sort of a more sort of basic view where they say Cockneys have never worked at Everton. You know, so that's their kind of deeply analytical take. But I suppose some people don't, do they? But they've had a hard time, Everton. I mean, I think they're in a lot of trouble financially. Yeah. And I'm going to say it now, Frank Lampard will be the first Premier League manager to be sacked.
Ooh, that's a big one. I like that, though. I think you might be right.
Yeah.
There you go. Tumbleweed. This wasn't what we were talking about, but I've just thought of it. So there you go.
I think you've sort of nailed it there, mate. He is massively overrated, and I think it is because of a playing career. Yeah. You know? That's all, really.
He's got this aura around him. I think it's because of his uncle, Harry Redknapp, and it's like almost like he's football royalty. So there's this entitlement thing going on. It's just like, he wasn't very good at Derby, and then he got promoted to the Chelsea job. It was just,
well, he did okay at Derby for a first-time manager starting out. I think he did okay, you know, but yeah. Then your next job, you know, you'd rather stay at Derby, or your next job is, I don't know.
What was it, like 43% win ratio at Chelsea? Mm.
Yes.
It's been awful.
But to be fair, I think if Chelsea hadn't had a transfer embargo, Lampard wouldn't have got that job. So that's not true. His fault. You know, yes, over-promoted, but unfortunately, they needed him at the time. That was literally the only way he was getting that job. And then they kept him on. And the minute he was allowed to go mad with Abramovich's checkbook, he signed a load of players, which he then didn't know what to do with. And part of the reason that he was bombed out was that Asapagibizibizibizibizaga, the goalkeeper. Kepa.
Kepa the keeper.
He was like, what was he, like 80 fucking million or something like that? And Frank went out and bought, like, you know, Mendy from France for like 25 million. You know what? He just like, basically the hierarchy were looking at down going, no, Frank, you're supposed to like get the 85 million pound goalkeeper back in the goal again and restore his confidence and get him back in the team. And it was basically like, you know, Lampard would use players, and then if they started, like, if they hit a patch of bad form, bomb them out of the team, bring somebody else in, and then forget that he had them. I mean, for instance, there was like Aspilicueta is one, and Alonso could not get a fucking sniff of the first team when Frank Lampard was in charge. Tuchel came in, starting 11 immediately. And it smacks of senior players not drinking Lampard's Kool-Aid, right? You're in the bomb squad then.
You know who else he didn't play? Rudiger.
Yeah.
He's one of those that if he's playing against you, you hate him. But if you're a Chelsea fan, I mean, Rudiger's just got that, you know, you'd love him as your nutter, wouldn't you? You know, Rudiger. He's like an old school. I mean, when he broke Kevin De Bruyne's face in the Champions League final, you know. He's just solid, that bloke. I mean, hate him if he's not on your team. But he was one that didn't play under Lampard. And then as soon as Tuchel came in, I mean, I think he won in the Champions League in a way that season. He was so good. He was good last season, but, you know, he's got character. Anyway, have we got any other top signings that of other clubs that have come across your radar?
The aforementioned Barcelona with Lewandowski and Rafinha. Nice to see the bankrupt Spanish boys giving it a whirl before they go out of business. Do you know what? I'm not looking at any club and going, fucking hell, they've done great business. You know, and possibly City, like, believe it or not, you know, funny, finished top of the league and finished top of the league in the fucking transfer window as well. I think we've done a volume of business that we needed to do because Bielsa's squad was proved to be too small. But we're in desperate need for a striker. Arsenal have got some business done well early doors.
Yeah.
And Chelsea seem to be getting some business, obviously, you know, taking in poor old unwanted Raheem Sterling.
And Kubilai, the central defender.
Oh, yes.
From Senegal. Well, he's not Senegalese, but he's a good player.
Yes.
He's a good player.
Oh, hang on. Didn't he come in from Napoli, was it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's 31, but that doesn't matter for his age. He's going to be one of those that's just going to read the game. And yeah, I mean, I think they're going to do okay, Chelsea. And I think nobody's signed Cristiano Ronaldo yet. That's the one that we're all waiting for. But it seems like he might be staying.
Nah, he's been offered everywhere and no one's interested. Literally no one's interested. You know, I mean, he's been offered to buy Munich. And they were like, no. You know, what are you even asking us for? You know?
Yeah.
Paris Saint-Germain. Oh, yeah. Because we want to try and cram him in the team with Messi and Mbappe and Neymar. Fuck off. So, I mean, it's literally no chance.
What's your take? I know this is one of your pet subjects. What about Gareth Bale? Where's he gone?
Oh, fucking hell. Old monkey head, eh? He's gone to
LA Fitness or something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. He's gone to play in the USA, where he'll still be surrounded week in, week out with better players than he is at international tournaments, which is amazing. He's managed to find a league which it is about where Wales are. I think it had to be MLS, because I think any club in the UK or Europe, fans aren't having it. Fans aren't having it. You know, sorry, Gareth, realise you need to stay fit for the World Cup, but this ain't a gym. Fuck off. Play the games, be committed, or do one. And instead, he's fucked off to the States where they won't give a shit. So I think that's where it is. I think even if there were clubs who were considering taking him on, I think anyone, you know, in the room, on the board, whatever, at some point goes, the fan backlash will not be worth it. It will not be worth it. And he ain't going to do it for free.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a fan backlash. I just think he has got fitness issues. And I think he's, obviously I live in Wales and he's a hero in Wales. And, you know, he's a different player when he plays for Wales. I mean, I think it's amazing that he could have stayed that long at Real Madrid, sitting on the bench and not seem to be bothered by it. And I suppose that's the question mark, isn't it? It's like, do you not want to play football? Like Sterling's like, you know, I'm not playing enough, even though I'm probably going to win trophies at City. I'm going. You know, Bale seemed quite happy to be just, you know,
2 years.
That brilliant banner, Wales Golf Madrid, wasn't it?
But it should be Golf Wales Madrid. It fucking should be.
Yeah.
It is a level of hubris and disrespect that no decent footballing country would put up with from any fucking player. Because it's Welsh, the paupers of international football, they have to make do with being treated like a fucking gym by an arrogant, overpaid, lazy cunt and I say that because 2 years since he's put a shift in, so that's a fucking fact. Whether he's put shifts in for Wales or not, I don't find that admirable in any way. I find the fact he's robbing his club week in, week out, kind of muddies the waters of what? Two playoff wins, a few goals in qualification. Does not a season make, does not a history wipe out. And his time in Madrid will be remembered for the 2 years where he did fuck all. He did absolutely fuck all and became a completely divisive character. You know, and he wasn't liked at the club. He wasn't liked by the players. He's just created an absolute mess for himself to live in. And I just think it's really, really sad, because what's even sadder is he'll probably go down as the greatest ever Welsh footballer. And you look at people like Mark Hughes, Ryan Giggs, even Ryan. And of course, the greatest of them all, John Charles, Ian Rush. Yeah. Any of those players in my team ahead of Gareth Bale every fucking game, and not on a club basis, on an international talent basis, gonna deliver. I'd have any of those players before Gareth Bale, absolutely.
Yeah, I guess it was one of those, a bit like Rooney in a way, that he was great. He was amazing at Tottenham, and he was great when he first arrived in Madrid. And then, I mean, same with Rooney in those early, you know, when he first pulled on an England shirt in that Euros, he was just unstoppable. Same as when he was in his early years at Man United. And some players just, I mean, Michael Owen was a bit like that. They just have that kind of when they were very young, they sort of almost peaked too early. But
To be fair, I have probably, I've left out injury there, which is a major part of how he's ended up where he is. So, you know, there is that mitigating circumstance. But also, amazingly enough, the highest scoring British player to ever play in Spain by a very, very long way.
Is this a quiz? Can I offer an answer?
Yeah.
Is it Gary Lineker?
No, it's it is Gareth Bale by Gareth a fucking Bale. Mile.
Is it?
Yeah. By an absolute mile. Like, yeah. Not even close. Like, Lineker's got about, I think, about 30 goals. Bale's on, like, 60 or 70.
Oh, well, that counts for something.
Way out front. Way out front. Well. And obviously, you know, more Champions League than any British player's ever won, etc. Or European Cups, depending on how you want to count them. But, you know, there you go. Fucking hell. Dave, you literally look... Your camera is steaming up, I swear.
Yeah, you can't see this. We're just like Dave's in a sauna with a guitar.
Is it steaming up? It's fucking hot. It's about...
It's hot.
It's hot.
Are you all right? Are you all right, Dave? I have to start throwing on...
It's fucking hot. It's hot. It's like Ray Winston in Flexi Boost.
I have to start throwing on water bottles for you. Like in the World Cup.
We're gonna have to have a drinks break. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely. Any other transfers that you know anybody's...
I just want to say Carvalho. Is it Carvalho, Dave? You signed from Fulham? I think he could provide prove to be a very good signing.
Hey, he's a bit sort of in the mould of Harvey Elliott. Sort of one for a 2 or 3 years hence. I was just looking. We might be in for this Matias Nunes, this midfielder from Sporting Lisbon. It's been 40 million, and it's in the Liverpool Echo, so it's probably reliable.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've been to Portugal, and I'll tell you. Oh. I had a lovely bottle of Mateo Nunes.
Oh, thinking Mateus Rose.
Mateus Nunes. Lovely bottle. Lovely bottle of Mateus Nunes. Oh, I tell you what, mate.
Mateus Nunes.
He goes down well. Put it that way.
Yeah, he's interesting potential long term solution for Henderson apparently.
Right. Okay. What for him having an awkward gait?
Now he might be signed as a replacement for him. He's only 23.
Well, Henderson's got to be, he's got to be looking at kind of like lucky to get into double figures for appearances next season, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, you know, Henderson, the new James Milner, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I can see Harvey Elliott playing a lot next season, Dave. I think he's one of those that he's not, it's like having a new signing because he was injured, wasn't he? I think he's a good player. Yeah. I think you lot are going to be just as good.
Dislocated his ankle against Leeds.
Yeah, he was injured. A perfectly legitimate challenge.
It was a kind of nothing challenge. It was weird.
Yeah. Well, he got the ball, but due to Jurgen Klopp being allowed to referee that game, watched it as it happened. Mm. Ref blew for it, get player on. Nobody was like running up to the ref saying that it was a foul or anything because it was just one of those tackles. It clearly wasn't. But of course, after Jurgen had a nice 5-minute chat, get this, on the pitch during the game, right? On the pitch. Had a nice 5-minute chat with the referee. When the referee was then marched at gunpoint over to Pascal Struyck to give him the mystery red card of last season. It was despicable behaviour by the boy Klopp. It was all sorts of wrong. It was so wrong, it couldn't be right. It was just bang out of order. Yeah. Oh, the poor young lad. You played him in a men's game, cunt. This is what happens. Fucking deal with it. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
and on that bombshell.
Yeah, I think that's a good... That sounds like we can't top that for this week. Nothing to do with transfers, just...
Having a pop at Klopp for on the fucking pitch, walking around like it was pop a Saturday Klopp. Saturday afternoon at Sainsbury's, walking around.
That's going to become a regular strand pop at Klopp.
Yeah.
Because he does fucking moan a lot. I'll give you that.
Yeah, he does. He does. But anyway, boys, let's all go and have a nice cold shower, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
That's all from the reducer for now. Ta-ra, everybody.